or am I better off just tying it up defensively? And oddly enough, I might go to Bournemouth, you know.
For a tighter defence?
Stop it.
Honestly, is that what you're saying? That goes to show the ridiculousness of the current competition that we're playing. Hello, patrons. Happy Friday, end of the week. And the end of this week means the end of this game week, but very soon the start of another one. Less than 24 hours until the next game week deadline. Two game weeks to go. And in your Friday special, James and I will be running down the plans with our own FPL teams, a quick look at our differentials, north v south, and onwards and upwards we go. How are we doing?
I'm all right, thanks, Suj. We decided next year already that this year's podcast on a Friday is going to be the differential show.
Because?
As asked by many of our patrons, because they want in on the old the differential league.
Okay, you know, so we're going to make a big one.
So yeah. We'll make a patron league. No cash prize on these because me and Suj can't win it. And we'll do Friday pods as differentials next season, I think.
You if that's what know what we do. Need to do if that's going to be the case, James, is...
Work a bit harder?
No, we need some of our patrons to help us police the league.
Oh, because, yeah, I ain't doing that shit.
I know with Tom and Nick's and Anthony's, I have to say Tom, Nick and Anthony now, Zombie League, they get the members in the league to police it. Like if someone makes any transfers or whatever, they tell Tom and Nick and they kick them out of the league. So if that's going to be the case that we open it up, I have no problem with that at all. But policing it and making sure people aren't taking the piss, that'll be hard.
Someone else can do it.
Exactly.
Nominations welcome sometime in mid-August. Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
how much closer are you to figuring out what you're doing with your team?
Well, I know what I'm doing, and I just don't think my transfer particularly matters at all because... My 11 is going to be closer. My only real decision is what I'm doing with captaincy, really, because I'm making a change to just make something on my bench a little bit more secure. And that's about it, because I can't get to what I want to, as I said on the podcast this morning about like Anti-Martial, for example. It's just not worth powering in a -4 or a -8 to thump it about. It's not to get to what I'd want. For this one game week would take a -8. It's just not worth it. When I'm probably going to be removing players like Maguire and Kevin De Bruyne. It's insane just because I want one player. So, no, I'm going to let Martial go and hope he gets injured on Sunday. Basically.
Oh, dear. You know what will happen? He'll get rested and come and tear West Ham a new one on
I think that's the more likely scenario as well, actually.
Mm.
Do you know what you're doing?
So I've kind of sort of narrowed it my decisions down to make it a little bit easier. The four players in my squad at the moment that are at risk of being sold are Jimenez, Pulisic, Foden, and Soyuncu. Soyuncu's obviously suspended and he's bench fodder anyway, but downgrading Soyuncu will free me up some more money. From Jimenez... The only place I potentially want to go is Danny Ings. And if I'm going to make that transfer, I have to do it this week, really, because buying Ings before Sheffield United and missing out on the Bournemouth game doesn't make sense. If I hear about Raul's baby, AJ, as he put it on Instagram, then the likelihood is that I will not make that move. If he doesn't have the baby, then I might make that move and put Danny Ings in for this weekend. That's top of my list as my most likely moves, which sets me up the following week to, if I make that move, it means keeping Christian Pulisic this week. Because from Pulisic, where I want to go is probably Riyad Mahrez for the final day of the season. If I go to Riyad Mahrez on the final day of the season, it means downgrading Phil Foden. Well, I have to get rid of Phil Foden because I can only have three City players. So KDB, Mahrez and Jesus. So I'd have to downgrade Foden to Suchek or cheaper. So those are there. And then obviously, if I decide not to go from Jimenez to Ings this week, I don't really want to sell Pulisic before Liverpool. It sounds crazy, but I actually do think they'll be all right on the counter-attack. Then I will literally just sort out Soyuncu this week and then figure it out before the final. So Jimenez to Ings is the most likely move that I'm going to make, with a view to letting me get Mahrez for the final game week of the season.
Brilliant. James just ticks in Raul Jimenez and Phil Foden for his game week 38. Thank you very much. Listen, if you go for Mahrez, I'm going with Foden, mate.
Yeah, go for it.
That's going to push you into Mahrez now I've said that.
Nah, not at all. I think it's tricky. I'm tricky because it's not very black and white. I have a number of problems that are a bit outside of my team, like who to bench, right? When you've got a player like Foden in your squad, it's hard to bench. At the moment, my bench is Foden, Creswell and Soyuncu. Creswell, Soyuncu, obviously they sit on the bench, but Foden, would you play Foden over Greenwood? What if Greenwood gets the full 90 or 120 in the FA Cup? Does that mean that he won't play against West Ham all of a sudden? So Foden, sure, Greenwood are an issue.
Just take me through your team.
So I will have either Martinez or Fabianski in goal.
You're going Martinez this week. We know that.
Maybe. I think...
Stop being stupid. You're not going to play Flappy at Old Trafford, mate.
Yeah, but you know, you'll captain Fernandes and he'll save a penalty from Bruno. And then I've got the double Liverpool defence, Robbo and Trent. Again, I'm not overly keen on that because I think Chelsea will score, but the attacking returns, isn't it? You can't really go away from that. And Matt Doherty in defence as well. In midfield, Kevin De Bruyne, the two Manchester United in Fernandes and Martial. And then Chelsea's, what's his face? The American, Captain America, Pulisic. Up front, at the moment as it stands, is Jimenez, Greenwood and Jesus.
I'd leave Pulisic out.
You'd bench Pulisic against Liverpool and play Foden and Greenwood.
Genuinely.
Yeah, not for me. I think Chelsea will do better than people think.
All right.
But you can see how I mean, I'm not the... You and I are not the only ones in this boat right now. I think the whole community is like, where do we go? What decisions to make? And it's the knock-on effect along the way.
It's interesting that my strategy from the wild card in 31 was to have quite a strong bench. And you could certainly say Traore against Palace, Saka away to Villa, Lamptey against Newcastle is a strong bench. I mean, they could go mental, actually. That could be quite a high-scoring bench. But then I don't have any doubt in terms of the 11 that I'm selecting this week. So it's quite interesting, that, actually. Mm. In terms of transfer for me, well, I'll do my team as it is. So I will be the Pope in goal, obviously. Trent, Robbo, Doherty, same as you. I've got Maguire. I'm De Bruyne, Sterling, Bruno Fernandes, Greenwood, Ings and Jesus. I don't see where I'd play Traore or Saka or Lamptey over any of them. I just would not stick Lamptey in anyway, even though I think they'll beat Newcastle on Monday, because Willie won't he play? Good luck guessing with that with Brighton players. So even Traore against Palace, I'm not overly keen on it. So I think I'm probably going to make a transfer for the sake of making a transfer. And it might be that I take a punt on something that might even get me a little bit of a rise. And I'm going to look at the markets tonight. So it might be that if I look at someone like Dwight McNeil when he's on the edge of a rise, for example, because they're playing Norwich, I might even just take the punt that, all right, you know what? If he bangs, he's going to sit for a sub. And I might even be able to lock out a 0.1 profit on that between now and next week. This is the first time I've ever been in a position where I've gone, there is genuinely nothing I want to do with this team. Nothing.
Yeah. The other alternative...
Well, there is, but it will cost me a minus eight and I ain't doing it when I've got a free hit for 38. So it's not even like it's a two-week plan. I've looked at the possibilities of a free hit 37 in terms of what I do, which I detailed on the pod earlier. And 38 is definitely the better option for me.
Yeah. The other player that I could go to from Pulisic, and I don't know if I'd do it this week, but it's one to keep in the bag instead of Riyad Mahrez, would be Antonio. Just for the last game week of the season, have a bit of fun. Why not, right?
He's certainly the sort of player I'd be considering for that final game, mate.
I know. Obviously, you talked in the main pod about it being your focus is to try and catch me. I think you need to try and keep a focus on getting the most points possible is the best strategy in FPL, right? And so it's like that. An analogy I would use is similar to when we had all of the options on the double game week players. You still ended up picking a lot of single game week players and they happen to be the best point scorers. It's like, if I've got players that are still going to be the best point scorers, then go with them. Like, you don't have to have 11 players that are different to me. Like,
four or five would be
plenty, because the handful that are in my squad that are the big hitters, if they go mental and you've gone completely bypassed it, trying to look for real differentials, I think that could end up biting you in the bum.
But for example, if you take like the back lines this week, we've both got Doherty, Trent and Robbo. The three players who we're not going to captain, if we're honest. We're definitely not going to captain them in game week 38. So it then becomes, it's like an eight player game almost from my perspective. So I'd need to take the chance that those two, the three players over the two teams will concede goals, and I look at trying to exploit somewhere else as a one game week punt. And that's exactly what it is a one game week, just to move them away to try and match against you. If we end up with, if you're 20 points clear, which probably after tonight, there's a good chance you will be.
Slim chance.
If you extend that lead at all over the weekend, over the next week or so, then I'm going to be, what, maybe 30 points behind. I've got to try something. Now, if I make up the gap on you this week, i.e., I don't know, I decide to captain Bruno and you go Martial, and Bruno does the business and Martial doesn't, for example, and it narrows up, then I might reassess that differently if there's only, say, under 10 points in it. Because I might look at things like, for example, I might not want Doherty at Chelsea. I might then keep, say, Trent and Robbo and match you off and go, well, I'll see if I can get someone who outscored Doherty. And then I'm looking at smaller number of moves. If I go into it 25, 30 points behind, mate, I'm going to smash out a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. The bigger the gap, the crazier it is you should go. And
I would even look at it. I would free hit a team that would probably be inferior to what I currently have, but I would have to try something.
Exactly.
As simple as that.
Yep. And are you really not that bothered about overall rank at all then?
I think for me, considering where I was at lockdown, like, I was already, put the asterisks next to whatever happens, because I was like 5 points clear of a million, right, or something. After game week 27 or so, the week after the Mane triple captain fail and then Salah going off, I dropped to 1.1 million. So to be sitting here now at 215k or wherever I'm at, I'm already quite happy. It's not what I would have wanted pre-season, but I'm really going, all right, do you know what, I've rolled the dice here and it's worked so far. So from that perspective, I'm in a headspace that, yeah, I'd like to beat last year's personal best. And I think I probably will either way, actually, would be my instinct going into the last two. And the free hit's got to be used as a weapon. So that's what I would intend to do with it.
I think it'll be fun. Especially because all the games are happening live. I feel like, at the same time, in the last week, I feel like it will ebb and flow. So there'll be periods in that 90 minutes where you might be ahead of me or vice versa. But
I won't even know, mate. Because I'll be watching Tottenham at Crystal Palace. And if you don't sort your life out, you won't know either, because you'll be watching your team against Aston Villa, right?
We'll be safe. We'll be safe.
Good luck. I hope you are.
I might not watch that game. I might watch a game that might have some goals in it, to be honest with you. we'll see.
I'm sure Palace Tottenham won't be a thriller, but I'll be watching it anyway. So I will literally switch off for it. If whatever channel it ends up being on has goal updates, great, it has goal updates, but you won't catch me looking for assists or anything like that, then no interest. Switch off. That's why I like the idea of Salah last game, because you know I don't enjoy owning him. So if I haven't got to fucking watch him,
even better.
I'll stick him in and I'll captain him probably.
Yeah. Let's talk about North East South, shall we?
Okay, yeah, we can start there if you want.
I feel like I should play my free hit this week because I haven't played it yet this season. And obviously we know how it's descended into chaos. But I feel like if I don't play it, then I've almost broken the rules by not using my free hit.
Bloody cheated.
Exactly. So let me tell you where I've got to. I'm playing Martinez in goal against Aston Villa. I've got David Martin from West Ham as my reserve goalkeeper because he's 3.9 and he's cheap as hell. Let's start with my front line. Danny Ings, Aubameyang, Harry Kane. Can't really argue with that. My midfield at the moment is Antonio, Heung-min Son, Willian, and then I've got Ward-Prowse and Nathan Redmond. So I've tripled up on Southampton away at Bournemouth. I've tripled up on Spurs because I've got Serge Aurier at the back. So Aurier, Son and Kane. I've got Azpilicueta, I've got Lamptey and Dunk as my two other defenders, and I've got like 7 million or something to fill that last defender slot with someone that I don't even know who I'm going to play at the moment. So I feel like I've gone quite offensive.
Now you know my problem. I only needed a 90 million budget for this pile of team. Shit, mate.
Yeah, I think Antonio, he can still do a little bit of damage against Manchester United. I like the three Spurs assets. I might end up picking an extra Arsenal asset at the back, potentially. And the tripling up of Southampton against Bournemouth seems okay as well. So I'm going to be playing my free hit, James.
0.6 in the bank. I had a decent game week again, actually. Although 60 points with a bench boost is not anything particularly to shout about. But I do still have the four players to go. Five, actually. Because I've got Fabianski, Bowen, Antonio, Saar and Femenia. Saar and Femenia as part of the bench boost.
60 points, eh?
So I've got 60 points from...
I'm only on 35. You've smashed 10. Me this week.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a better position with it, but next week looks like a complete car crash.
Mm.
So if we ignore the five playing tonight and we look at next week, I'm now walking into treble Chelsea, treble West Ham. There are ways around that. Obviously, I've got Martinez as well, so he'll play in goal. I've got Bowen and Antonio at United. I've got Zuma, Pulisic and Azpilicueta. I bust it with Zuma not in the team. Azpilicueta, the more capable of an attacking return. Pulisic in there at the moment. And I've obviously got the two Watford boys who play Man City, who I've got no interest in, Saar and Femenia. I'd rather play the Chelsea boys than the Watford boys. So I've got 0.6 in the bank, one free transfer, and I'm trying to work out if it's better for me to go from, say, Ismaïla Sarr to a Redmond and then leave out probably Bowen, for example, or am I better off just tying it up defensively? And oddly enough, I might go to Bournemouth, you know.
For a tighter defence?
Stop it.
Honestly, is that what you're saying? That goes to show the ridiculousness of the current competition that we're playing. Can I tell you something, James?
I might go Rico at 4.2, mate.
I should have wildcarded last week and I didn't, which now means that I have my wildcard, my bench boost and my free hit and only two game weeks to use them. So I'm not going to get to use my second wildcard, but I am going to take about five hits next week before unleashing my bench boost.
Just to bench boost the car crash out of it, yeah?
Yeah, and the bench boost will probably be brutal because it'll be three United, three City and three Liverpool.
I did say a few weeks ago that I wanted to get into the top 3 million with this team and it looked very unlikely. Actually, I'm up to 3.1.
Close. So there's
a little bit of a personal goal to try and get in there with this shower of shit because I'd restarted lockdown at 4.2 million. So if I can get into the 3 million, that would be quite cool. This team of mine, the South team, has never been ranked. The highest it was ranked all season was 2.8 million after game week 8.
Wow.
What a shower of shit. Difficult. If I could beat that, that'd be good. Best overall rank of the season to hit it in game week 38. That'd be nice.
Differential team. It's doing average, 46 points so far with Jared Bowen still to play. Obviously, players that are less than 10% owned and we have to sell them when they go over 20%. Charlie Taylor's got an injury, but then we've got Willy Bolly and Gomez on the bench. So we could just bin him off on the bench.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing. So Charlie Taylor, I understand, has definitely been ruled out of tomorrow, but not necessarily the rest of the season. So that might be the spark play to go. However, we also still have the free hit for this.
Mm-hmm.
We need to decide if it's now or game week 38. What's the best thing to do with it?
I
think it's game week 38.
I think game week 38 to have some fun. And it gives us something to talk about next week before the final countdown to the deadline, putting together a decent differential free hit from everybody that's left. Obviously, we can leave people in who are sitting between 10 and 20%, right?
Yeah, if they've already been there and we bought below 10, as long as they haven't got above 20, we
can
keep
them there. So we don't
have
to clear out everybody and only bring in players below 10% for the free hit. We can keep the ones that we have. So.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no issue with that at all. I think we've got one or two of them. So Mahrez is 10.3%, for example, so we can hold on. That's not a problem at all. But obviously, with the free hit still in play, then there's no point just rolling the transfer this week. We should do something with the one free transfer, right? And we have 2.1 million in the bank. So there's a lot to fucking play with there.
Just having a look here.
But you know the transfer I want to make, don't you?
Tell me. Chris Wood for Calvert-Lewin. let's get Chris Wood for Calvert-Lewin. I like that.
That seems very straightforward for me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a... The only thing is, that's if we go Calvert-Lewin, because we've the way I'd bust it was it'd be like this. Alisson, Doherty, Bolly, Gomez, Taylor, who's obviously now out. Mahrez, Foden, Son, Saka. Jesus, Firmino. Now, Calvert-Lewin in for Taylor would make sense from that bus team. Then that leaves us with Jared Bowen first sub. But that's all right, isn't it?
It's Manchester United, so sub. Yeah, I would leave it at that.
Well, no, that would mean Jared Bowen playing.
Oh, okay, and Azpilicueta first sub.
And Azpilicueta first sub.
I still think Liverpool will score, so yeah.
Is that that's right? Fine. Losing my marbles here. Wood in for Taylor. Yeah, and then the bench would be Bowen, Azpilicueta, Taylor. No, so Bowen wouldn't start, it'd be sub.
Right, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, is it as simple as that then?
Yep.
Right, captain. Jesus, Mahrez, Son, Doherty. Love the silence, so
just... of course.
I'm going to go with the Doc.
Yeah, I was going to suggest Doctor. That was the next one that came out of my mouth. With Jesus and Mahrez... You don't know who is and isn't going to play. Tottenham still, despite winning games, are a bit ropey. So Doctor is the one that I would say.
I want to go with the Doc for this.
Just to try something different,
I have
right?
to say, for my own team, I own Doherty and Jesus, and I would not make that call. Would go with... For me, I'm deliberating right now whether I'm going Jesus or Fernandes. I think for this week, I'm gonna lean towards Fernandes, I think, on the security. I think... It's a safer play. And it's not 100% secure anyway. We know that. But I think it is securer. I'm going to hate myself if Jesus doesn't play tomorrow and then goes mad on Tuesday. But then it's still a player that you don't own. And you're not going to buy him this week, are you?
No.
So it will still count as a differential for me if I'm trying to chase you. So I think I'm going to lean into Fernandes. That's my thought process at the moment. Chris Wood, for Calvert-Lewin. Any thoughts of going... Instead of Calvert-Lewin, getting rid of Firmino. Ain't scored at Anfield all season. But then Calvert-Lewin is playing Sheffield United.
No, I would keep Firmino. He's always got the chance of an assist or something. Yeah.
Fine. All right, we go with that. Doherty captain. That was quite straightforward this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Gives us a bit of time to answer a couple of Twitter questions that we've had. Not Twitter questions, Slack questions. Apologies.
Go on, Ed.
Alex Turner, if England were going to the Euros this year, if you had to pick four striker spots, who would make it at the moment? Kane?
You can't only pick four. I mean, in terms of actual strikers, you would only pick one, Harry Kane.
And Rashford?
I think it's not a striker anymore, mate.
Well, if you had four striker spots.
You would take players like Rashford and Sterling and then potentially play them up front. There'd be no point taking Kane wings. Vardy's retired.
Ings
is the issue because Ings you want to take. But you ain't going to see no minutes over the likes of Sancho and Greenwood and any of them. Sterling, Rashford. So those are the five. Are you saying I can only pick four of them? Because they're wide players. England are probably going to play with a front three. So really, I need at least five.
It's tricky, isn't it? This whole wide, outside, forward type.
If I had to leave one out now, it would be Greenwood then. Sancho, Rashford and Sterling have got to go. And whatever people think of Kane, whether you think he should be in that team or not, is the variation, isn't it?
Yeah. Dylan. I feel like Dylan's a Manchester United fan.
Did you get that impression?
Are people downplaying how good Manchester United's forwards are at running at defenders when talking about the number of penalties won? Last season, the emphasis seemed to be on how brilliant a dribbler Zaha was with all of Milivojevic's penalties. Now there's obviously the diver shots, but with now it's Varchester United and the likes.
My challenge to the patrons. I put a message on Slack last night about overturned goals.
Yeah.
So Manchester United have the joint most goals that have been scored against them that have been cancelled by VAR. It's joint with two other teams, Southampton and Brighton. And the reason for putting that stat out there was there's noise from a lot of people, understandably, saying that the big clubs are getting all the decisions. And I just wanted to highlight that in this case, in VAR does not judge on 1 millimetre offside calls in terms of which team's playing or anything like that. And on the penalties, the challenge I would throw to the patrons now is we obviously know the penalty at Aston Villa should not have been given. But all these penalties, I think United have had 13 or 14. And actually, if you date it back to the start of last season, it's an absurd number. It's about 25 penalties in around about 60 Premier League games or something. My challenge would be, on the penalties given for United this season, tell me which ones were definitely wrong, other than obviously the Bruno one at Aston Villa.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, it just is what it is, and then Dylan's got a fair point. These people like Zaha, Martial, Rashford, etc., they are more likely to win penalties. Absolutely. Yeah. Son at Tottenham is another one. Pulisic at Chelsea is another one. These guys are more likely to win penalties. Of course they are.
This is the final question of this pod. And I think I quite like this question, James. Coming in from FPL Woollyback, Steve, how you doing? I like the fact that in Slack, there's a question from him saying when do questions need to be in by? followed by below that his question. So we've answered the top one. Just keep chucking them in. And this one's an interesting one. If the rule to continue to allow 5 substitutions a game is approved by the Premier League for next season, you think there should be some rule changes by FPL to allow for the multiple substitutions that will occur before 60 minutes? Do you think an option to change that to 45 minutes for clean sheet points would be a good idea? Or are FPL likely to just do nothing and it becomes an even more difficult game to judge in terms of players playing the full 90?
What's that programme on BBC Three you like?
People just do nothing.
All right, there you go. That answers the question. They won't do anything. Should it go through the 5 subs? That's bad. Really bad.
Yeah, I would not be happy if that happened. I mean, think it clearly favours the bigger clubs, right?
Forget the fantasy for the second. It's just bad for the league. It's not necessary. It's really, really not necessary. Clubs that we've already said, we think the clubs that qualify for Europe won't go into the League Cup. They're not going to be playing more than twice a week. And actually, even over this period, they haven't played for more than twice a week. The big fear over this period was obviously if people were picking up reoccurring viruses. And obviously the fact that they were coming back to very competitive football with not a lot of training. So, you know, the guy, if you take Crystal Palace, for example, their season's going to finish in 9 days and then they're not going to play football for nearly 2 months. We don't need 5 subs anymore. Come on. And if you're saying, right, okay, the powerful clubs like City, United, Wolves, those are going to go late in Europe, etc., they need more subs, then I'm sorry, they don't.
No,
just start different players in the first place. I mean, Wolves, I don't know the statistics on Wolves' substitutions since the restart. I haven't had a look. But I bet they've not been making 5 substitutes every game. I could bet money on that. Even Tottenham. Mourinho hasn't made 5 substitutions in any game because he doesn't trust the 11 he's got on the pitch. He doesn't want to trust the people he's bringing off the bench. So for certain clubs, even United have just used it to exploit giving people a rest, basically. That's it. That's all they've used the substitutions for. Used to go, right, game's won. Yep, get the front 5 off the pitch. That's it. Occasionally they've used like Brandon Williams and stuff. So no, the 5 subs got to go. I understand why IFAB have passed it off. I completely understand that. But the Premier League should take a decision and go, no, sorry, this isn't for us. The problem with IFAB passing it off is I suspect it does mean that you'll get five subs in UEFA competition.
Interesting. Yeah, I see what Steve's asking about there, because it does make it tricky with 50, 55-minute substitutions. I think it's going to become part of the game. What will happen is inevitably there'll be certain players that get hooked early regularly. You'll notice that they're good for 50, 55, 60 minutes, and we might steer clear of them. The one thing they do in Sky, obviously, is you get if you start the game, you get 2 points, and if you come on, you get 1 point, right? And that's regardless of how many minutes you play.
That's correct, yeah.
That could be an interesting way to look at it. If you're in the starting lineup, you get 2 points, and if you come off early, you get one. I don't think you should get clean sheet points for 45 minutes. I think 60 is fine. Like, you need to play at least 60 minutes to be part of a clean sheet for me. That works fine as well.
Personally, controversial, I don't think we've ever covered this, but I would like clean sheets to only be given for players who played a whole match.
Controversial.
If it's five
what's
subs.
Your,
next,
what's
if
your
there's
reason
five
for?
Subs, my reason for that, because I don't see, if you're a fullback and you get taken off after 62 minutes, don't see where you should get the reward. We see it at least once a month where someone ends up with like top bonus and they've gone off as like
early
a Mickey Mouse right back after 62 minutes and the game's finished 1-1 and they're going to absolutely smash top bonus. It's not really what the emphasis of the game should be, is it?
No.
That, oh, your player plays less minutes and you get better rewarded. No, I'd actually like it to be the whole match. If the five subs comes in next year, I would say now I'll be very surprised if I don't start the season with five at the back. Because they're the guys that's least likely to get taken off in a game of football. It's defenders. Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, the flip side is it is happening now when we still pick players like Raheem Sterling and Traore. Even if they come on for 15, 20, 30 minutes, you feel like they can have an impact. So why would that be any different next season?
But over the course of next season, when you add in other factors like cup competitions, etc., you can have a better understanding of where people's priorities lie. You can have an understanding of Sterling's just played 90 minutes. What's he likely to do this week? Is he likely to get a complete break? Let's be honest, there's a lot of times this season we've seen the likes of De Bruyne and Sterling play 0 minutes. That the other day against Bournemouth was particularly unusual, actually, I think.
Mm.
Whereas we have, think of all the game week six, everybody had De Bruyne vice-captain when Sterling looked the best captaincy option. Everybody got it, didn't they?
They did.
So, but that's something we've seen happen before with City. It's not something we're going to see happen now. I would want the reliability of more players that I knew that I was going to get 90 minutes out of, and I would just invest a little bit more money back there to make sure that I've got guys that you would have faith in from a defensive perspective. So it would probably mean, I would say now, I would probably just stick a Burnley guy in there and forget it and leave it.
Sheffield United whoever, as well, potentially.
Whoever's the cheapest one, and Sheffield United, and then you can have like your Trent and Doherty and stuff like that if that's what you want. And that's the way I'd go and play it. And then if you have a bit of rotation amongst what I'd say with that is I wouldn't go for, say, 4.5 million forward. You'd probably spread the money a little bit so you could make week-to-week decisions in terms of who you start and who you don't. Because if you have your smattering of, say, three United attackers with that, it's going to be very problematic at some certain stages during the season.
Is the general feeling at the moment that it won't pass?
I would hope not. It's not a good thing for football.
No.
I understand why it happened now, and I think we should all understand the reasons for why this happened. It's the same as the water breaks. Look, once they put it in, we can all see they don't need it at the moment, bar it's been maybe 2 or 3 days where it's been useful for the energy of a football match. But they decided that's what they was going to do to the end of the season. That's fine. The danger was always that this happened, and then people thought, oh, this is a good idea, but it's been massed. Damned as bad, right? The danger was people went, oh, this is good. Let's start throwing adverts into football matches halfway through and stuff like this. So I don't think there's a danger of that happening. So the water breaks on that will get binned, wouldn't they?
Good, good, good. So last and but not least, a little shout out to Rob Reed, James. Rob has just joined our Patreon. It popped
Hello,
up on
Rob.
My phone, and I reckon this is the first Patreon exclusive podcast that he's going to listen to. Because it's the first one released after he's become a patron. So I thought, whilst it popped up on my phone, let's give him a little shout out.
Hi, Rob. Hi, everybody else. Yes. Sorry for the other 160 of you. We haven't done that for yet. Do you want to get a list out, Suj?
Yeah, we will do. we'll put it on the wall. We'll start what we'll do one day when we've got... We do have a studio, but when we got like a dedicated proper studio, like a Sky Sports studio, we'll write every patron's name on the wall somewhere.
One of the rewards of...
For a fee, of course.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
You know, like how outside the London Stadium, you can get the little plaque things where you can get your name for like £100 or whatever. That's what we'll do in our studio. Patrons can get a little engraved plaque on the wall.
Engraved plaque. That's not bad. That's not bad.
That's premium.
I was definitely not going to be charging people for a shout out on a podcast. That's definitely never, ever going to happen, by the way.
Nah. But a plaque on the wall or plaque on the wall, $29.99. Name on the wall with the Sharpie pen, 50p. You decide in the vote.
with the Sharpie.
Yeah, I'll scribble your name on the wall with a Sharpie. You can pay me 50p. I'll get a nice engraved plaque. That'll cost you 30 quid. You decide. In the meantime, enjoy your tinkering with your game, with your teams before the game week deadline tomorrow morning. Hope you had a good FPL game week 36. Hope you have an even better game week 37. Once again, thanks for all your support. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Good luck, patrons. Cue music, man, child. Fantasy Football Show.